we just want to thank everyone for their hospitality, for all the things that you've done for us, and entertained us, so to speak, and took care of us. And so now I begin to wonder. Now I wonder, Elder Montgomery, what I'm going to say wrong.
Yeah.
Well, I'm on pens and needles.
I'm listening to you.
Okay.
I'll tell you later.
But as we look, you know, it's just a wonderful time when we can come and be here at a special time like this and be together. And so that's very, very important, and it's our time, as I've said. And so as we look, we used some time the last time about some thoughts about value. And when we look at that, we find out that there's things that are very valuable, and we see that one of the most precious things is a child of God, and that's you. You are the most valuable. And God values you so highly that He gave the best that He had for you. And so that was Jesus Christ. He went to that cross. He died. And young folks, I kind of want to speak to you. So give an old man just a little bit of liberty and a little bit. But I want you to think about some things. You know, when you look at me up here, you see me in a suit, like I said, and you see the preacher. You need to realize something. I've got a direction that I want to go this morning. I want you to think about this. You know, you don't see the guy that with his wife went out and a friend had a Thompson machine gun. You don't see that here. Man, let me tell you, we went out, I loaded up ammunition for that thing, and we set up feed sacks, and boy, was we having fun. Man, the old rounds were just shelling out of that thing. You see what I mean? You don't see that. And you don't see the kids and the older brother that took it. And you know, back where I'm from in Missouri, we got some big trees. At one time, we took and, man, we got some potash, we got some fertilizer, and we got some dynamite. And man, we blew this big tree. And I was a teenager, and I watched my older brother do this, and another feller. And I was watching that tree, folks. All I seen was a puff of smoke. And I mean, it blew that tree from this end to that end of that building. I don't know if you know how heavy a tree is, but you just take a big chunk of wood, you got your hands full. I mean, I watched the mud clods come up, and I wondered if they was going to come to where I was, and they fell down there a few hundred feet. So as I look about that, how different things are today.
Yep.
Now, if we do that today,
yep,
folks,
you'd be in
jail. I don't know. They might have the ATF, the BTF, and every TF up here. Now, you know, we'd be terrorists for sure. But we're just good old boys having some fun. And we did when I grew up. So, you know, it's a lot different than you realize. But this is the time we have now. And so the time that we have, as we look about that, you know, we looked at value, and you are the most precious. I want you to realize that. And as we begin to look at that, I want to go over and I want to use some thoughts this morning. And in thinking about value, I want you to realize something. Because, you know, if you've seen me for what I was and what I am, I'm going to tell you something. There's going to be times in your lives that you're going to need someone. And I'm going to tell you, the loneliest road that you can have is when you go it alone. And so it's a wonderful thing when you look here and you look at a group of people here. I'm telling you something, you don't have to go it alone.
Amen.
Okay? There's problems and trials and tests in this world that you will have. I promise you that. You know, and we listen to this world today, and we talked a little bit the last time about being made free from sin. So we may want to look at that just a little bit. But I want to look at that word for just a moment as we think about what's free. I want to tell you something. The reality of it is there isn't anything free. And you may say, wait a minute. I have eternal life and that's free. No, somebody paid for it.
Right.
Okay? Okay. So, now then, here we go. I want you to think about this. Today, there's a whole realm in a political spectrum that's telling you that things are free. It's a lie and it's not true. There isn't anything free. And I want you to realize something. In this world, you're going to have to work for it. You will have to work for what you get. And you might get something, you might get an inheritance, but I want to tell you, somebody worked for that.
Amen.
And so as we're heirs of God and we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ,
yeah.
I want you to realize that something was done that you might have something.
That's right.
And so now then, when we begin to look and we read through the Scriptures and we find out there in the Roman letter, and if you look at that many times, that we have died now and we're freed from sin. But that cost us something. That cost Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
And it cost His death. It cost something very precious. You're bought with a price.
Amen.
And that price is precious. Now, the question that we have, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
That's really the question. Your question isn't, how do I obtain eternal life?
Right.
God's already obtained that for you. And so now then, the real question is what am I going to do with my life?
Yeah. Amen.
That's it. Where am I going to spend my life at? And I know, you know, I was young once. I've been there. I've been in your shoes. I've been in young people's shoes. And, you know, I know what I like to do. Hunting, shooting, fishing. We did it all. Rode horses. We had a lot of fun when I was a kid, you know. And then you go on a little bit. And then pretty soon you meet the love of your life. And you think you're going to get married. And then pretty soon you go on and you begin living life. But I want to tell you something. I want you to think about something. You need to step back and get a foundation before you go any further.
Yeah.
Okay?
Amen.
And in building your life, it's yours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're bought with a price. It says you're not your own. But it is your life. You see what I mean? And you can take your life and you can live it any way you want. I want you to realize that. And that's one of the things that Satan has and that he uses. And he strives to deceive and lie and take from you what you could have. Okay? He's a deceiver.
Yes.
He's a liar and the father of it.
Yeah.
And he stands in opposition to everything that's going to create value in your life. Now, I have this thought, not thinking about this, but I want to see if I can find this. Yeah, I fill the Bible full of examples of different things. And anyway, I may not even find it. The thought that I want was the very thing. Give me just a moment. See here if I can find what I want. I want to read this. I want you to think about this just a moment. And we use the thought of gold being something of value. And I want you to think about this. Gold is symbolic of tried and tested faith in the goodness of God that is exhibited in a life that glorifies Him. Herein is value. Now you've heard, you think about that. Okay, let me read that again. I want you just to think about that. Gold is symbolic of a tried and tested faith in the goodness of God. That's exhibited in a life that's lived that glorifies Him. So the life that you live needs to glorify God.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point. Now there's a lot of people out there living. And they're living a lot of different ways. But they're not all glorifying to God. See? And so, in order for you to have a life that shows forth the value that you want, consider that carefully. If we go over, and I want to go over for a moment, and there's a scripture that talks about this just a little bit, but you know, gold is an example. It maintains its integrity, as we've said. It is something that does not tarnish. It is what it is. And I want you to realize it represents what it is, see? Truth. I mean, it is what it is. It won't change. I mean, it's stable. And it's rare and it's valuable. And so, when we look at this, the Apostle Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, I just want to pick a verse out of there. But he used this thought. He says that the trial of your faith, being more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's a lot in that. And so when we begin to look at that, when I was a kid, I did a lot of reloading. And if there's anybody that ought to have lead poisoning, it ought to be me. Man, oh my. And you know what was kind of neat about that? We were talking about testing things with fire. When I was a kid, I reloaded in the basement. And I could tell you some stories. Anyway, I molded bullets. And what was interesting is you could just take a spoonful of that molten hot lead. Because when I was a kid, I played. Had a lot of fun, remember? And I'd take that, flip that out, and throw that right down on the concrete. Do you know what? You could just reach down and you could pick it up. I mean, it was as hot, it was melted here. No joke. You could literally take that, throw it on the floor, reach down and pick it up. It cooled that quick. And it would just spread out. Neat stuff. The stuff I did. Oh my. And then there was another time. But I was in the house with the firearm that went off. And my mom was on the phone. So, yes, there is a whole array. And you learn about those things. But I maintained the safety. I knew where it was pointed. You know, I want you to think about this. Because you don't realize what you have in the church. Amen. Your faith, as it says here, the trial of your faith, the trial of that faith is more precious than gold that perisheth. And you know, people, they say, well, if I just had a lot of gold, I'd be rich. Wait a minute. Notice what this says here. That the trial of your faith is more precious of gold that perisheth. Gold's going to perish. God's going to wrap this sucker up. This whole thing, this whole world is going to burn. The elements are going to burn with velvet heat and fervent heat, and it's going to be gone. So you know, think about that just a little bit. And think about your faith, because that is wherein, that is the currency of heaven, and that is wherein you have value. And you glorify God is by having your faith tried. And you know what? This is why the church is so important. And I don't think people realize that point of why it's so important in our lives. Because it's where the gospel is preached. It's where the truth is heard. And so in looking about that, I just can't... It's immensely important in your lives. And so, as we go back and see, there's going to be times in your life that you're going to need something. And you're going to need advice. You're going to need help. And lots of times, you know, we look at that thought, it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." There's a rest in the church. And I'm going to tell you, there's a safety among God's people because they care for each other.
Yeah.
Okay? Now you think about that. Where else are you going to get better advice?
Mm. Amen.
And I am telling you, you know, you may look at me today and say, I could never talk to that preacher. That preacher would never understand my problems. Look at that suit he's in. Look at this feller. Look at these two fellers over here. They got their suit on, they're decked out, and they pray, and they're holy.
Oh, really?
I could never, they would never understand my problems in my life.
Right.
Now you see, that's the direction that Satan gets you to go, and he says, they won't understand.
Yeah. I don't.
Now, I want you to think about something. You know, years ago, when I was a kid, I'll relate this experience. Years ago when I was a kid, I had a grandmother. And she sold a farm, okay? And so she was a widow. Her husband had passed away. And so she, you know, the farm kind of became a burden, and she didn't want to have to handle that. And so she sold it. And so she got the money out of it. And so, you know, as we begin to think about that, that kind of presented another problem, because now she's got the money. And so what does she have to do? She had to do something with the money. And you know, I want you to think about this. It's your life, and you're going to have something to do with it. You're going to live it. You will live your life. And you're going to have some choices to make about how you live your life. And just as she did, she's going to have some choices to make. And I want you to realize there are, you know, it's a dime a dozen. Everybody's got an answer for you. You know, everybody's got a solution for you. You know, one right after another. You go out in this world and there's always somebody ready to give you some advice and this and that and the other. But you know, fortunately for her, she had a brother. And this brother was my uncle. And she went down to her brother. And she said, his name was Leonard. And she said, "Leonard," she says, "what am I going to do with this?" And he said, "Mildred," he said, "you just take that," and he says, "you go buy Exxon." Thought about that. So she takes and she puts it all in Exxon. You'd have to know the uncle. This was a man that done very well financially. And this was a man that she could go to and get a straight answer. It was somebody that she could trust. You see what I mean? He'd already been through it. And so she takes that and you know, it turned out very well for her. My point in telling you that is this, is that she had a time of need and she needed something. She didn't have the experience. She didn't know what to do. But I'll tell you one thing she did right. She went to the right person. Okay? She went to the right person to get the advice. And so when we look about that, you know, she wasn't disappointed as we think about that. It done very well. And there's something else as we think about that now, and as you look about that, I want you to consider that very carefully. Because, you know, there's an old adage, and it's this. In the world of investments, They always say, don't tell me what you're recommending, tell me what you're buying. Okay? There's a lot of recommendations in this world. And you know, Satan's got a whole bunch of them. He got a whole bunch of them. He had one for Eve. He had a recommendation for her. That didn't turn out very well. And so, what I'm telling you is when you think about that, you know, we've got a Lord and a Savior. He's our owner and He has recommendations. And just think about that. I thought about that later. You know, so many people come up with these ideas and they say, don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to do. You've heard it before. How silly that is. Let me tell you, if you know what you're talking about, tell me what to do. And when it comes to that in that world, she needed to be told what to do and in going to the right person. But you see, it didn't end there. That's not the end of the story. Because the uncle took, and what did he do? He went and bought a big batch of it too. Okay? Now I want you to think about that. You have a Savior that's in all points tempted like as we are. He's went through everything. There is always somebody telling somebody else what to do, but they won't do it themselves. You know, they're not going to do it. But He went and did the same thing they told her to. See, that's the difference. And so, in looking about that, I want you to consider those very things. As you start out on a life, and you're going to have decisions to make, I'm going to tell you, you want somebody that you can go to that will be there for you and give you the right advice. Those folks are both dead now. They're not here anymore. Their wisdom's gone with them, and that's the end of that. But we've got one that lives forever. He'll always be here, and He'll never steer us wrong. Now, I'm using a worldly application, but what we want is that's spiritual, because that's the value in your life that I'm talking about, you see. You understand that. You may not have anything to invest. That's okay. It doesn't matter. But you do. That's what I'm telling you. And it's your life. And it's the most precious and the most important. And I'm going to tell you something. This is the point. If you visit with somebody and all they do is tell you about all the money they've made and all the great investments they've made, you think again. There's something wrong. Because I want to know somebody that's made some mistakes. That person's learned. Okay? And the uncle that I had, he made some mistakes. And you learn from those. I know he did. But overall, he continued on a course, and he done very well. And it's the same way when we begin to look at what he's talking about here, that we have a trial of our faith. And as our faith is tried, we're going to have different instances in that. We've got the things in youth that we have, the problems that we have in youth in living. Flee youthful lust. That's what the Bible says. So in each increment in our life, we're always going to need advice and help. And I reckon the point that we look at here is it's important, because inside the church you have folks that care for you. See, that's the important. Just imagine if you could live a life and I'm going to talk about your investment life. And so you have, let's say you have money. Just think if you could find somebody that could tell you all the right things to do. be pretty valuable, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Years ago, you know, we'd all bought Amazon and Apple, and you know, if we could look back and redo it, we'd probably all do things different. But the point about it is we can look forward through God's Word and through a trial of faith, and we can see that we have someone that can tell us and can give us the counsel and the advice to make our lives valuable to Him and glorify Him. You can live, you can shoot that Tommy gun, you can blow trees out of the ground, you can have a lot of fun in this life. It's okay. It's good. But I'm going to tell you, when it comes down to it, remember the very thoughts. And you know, Jesus laid this out. And He laid this out in Matthew. And it's a thought that you've heard before. But therein, He simply lays it out like this. He says here, He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." There's an order for things to be done. And He says, "And all these things shall be added unto you."
Yep.
And my point is this. We need a foundation in our life. The church provides that foundation through the preaching of the gospel and acknowledging of what is true. See? And so it's through Satan when he can get you to believe something false, like he is now. And he's telling all these people, "You're going to get all this stuff and it's all going to be free." I tell you, I'm sorry, but there's people that believe it. And it's a lie. And so what does Satan do? He seduces and he's going to take away. He's not going to add anything good to your life. God is going to add something good to your life. He's going to add something profitable. So when you go out, if you've got a foundation that's established in the gospel and in the church and with people around you of like faith and order that have your best interest at heart, that's a key. Because who you're around is who you'll likely be like. See? You know, there were several siblings in that family. And, you know, he got into banking and insurance. He went into other areas and expanded. And so he was exposed to things that helped him. And likewise, it's the same way we can be exposed to things through the preaching of the gospel and through visiting and through fellowshipping like this meeting with different things. I'm going to tell you, young people, do not be afraid to visit and visit with someone about your problems. You'd be surprised. I once went and I visited with an old bank trust officer. I related this. He told me, I'll never forget what he told me. He says, "You never get any closer to people than when you touch their money." I tell you, I have never forgot that. But I want you to realize, I think there's a place that we do get closer.
Yeah.
See? And it's through the church and it's through our fellowship in Jesus Christ. Because, you know, I think we want to see each other be of value and glorify God. That's the point about us meeting here and about us fellowshipping. That is a common ground that we stand on and that we have. Is we want to be able to foster and help one another in glorifying God and living a life that is of a value to Him. And I'm going to tell you something. when your life is of value to God, and you that is showed forth in your life that you live, your life will be a value to others. See? And you can see how my grandmother's brother, his life and what he did secularly became of value to her. And that touched a lot of other people too. He was of your generation probably. Maybe a little older, but maybe 20 some years. But as we look, you see how important that is. That we have value. And you're going to have that. You know, I thought about this. What if my grandma hadn't visited with him? Yeah. There it is. What if she hadn't visited with him? What if she'd went down and visited some slick shyster banker or bankster or something? You know, she could have went to a lot of other people. And a lot of other people that have given her advice. So that's the point is, and I think about that. See, she had a choice to make, but she made the right choice. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you a right choice that you can make, because I'll guarantee you something. You will make a lot of wrong choices. I have made a lot of wrong choices in my life. But there's one choice that I've made that I've never regretted.
Yeah,
and that's joining the church.
Amen.
Yep. That's being baptized.
Yep.
And that's being following my Lord. And even in my feeble, miserable way of failure that I have at times. Oftentimes. But you know, I'm at the right place. I'm at the right place today. I've been at the right place. So as we look and as we briefly consider those things, we go back and what do we find? We find there in Romans. You consider those things in Romans. That's where it's at. Where we was. And we look, you see, and we found that the Apostle Paul is talking about this. And he's talking about our life being that we've died. And I want you to look at this. I've just starred some things here. And it's interesting how he talks about this. He says there in the sixth chapter, he says, being made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. Being made free from sin. You see, there's a freedom of it. And we can go through here, and you know, I've starred several of them, and we can see. He says, and now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. And I could probably turn over here and we could find some more where he talks about being made free from sin. You see, the death of Jesus Christ, there is legality in death. Don't ever forget that. There is legality in death. There was legality that had to be followed. And it had to be the man Christ Jesus that came and lived a perfect life and that died on that cross. And you see, therein is where election is placed. Election, what it does, it gives us legal representation in Jesus Christ. So when He went to the cross, you and I went there. And you know, people look and they get that all confused. I'm going to tell you, if it wasn't for election and it wasn't for God's choice, that'd be it. But God made a choice in placing His people in a covenant relationship in Jesus Christ. And you know, I talked just a little bit and said, you know, today they're saying there ain't no difference between a man and a woman. And if you've looked the feminism that has come out of the 60s movement and look where that has grown today. And it's just beyond all imagination. But as we look, as in the first Adam, and we have the second Adam, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. You see, It had to be a man, and the man was Jesus Christ. And that man went, and he did everything that pleased the Father. He did it for you and I in his passive and his active obedience, everything he done. Always the right choice. He was always right in every way. And he went to that cross and he died for you and for me in your stead and place and mine. See? And so then we look, what does that allow? That's what the Apostle Paul is saying through these chapters, through the 6th, through the 7th, and the 8th chapters in Romans. He's laying that out, that we're freed from sin. And now, here's where I don't want you to misunderstand it. You say, well, Elder Trueblood, don't feel like I'm very free from it. You've missed the point. It's the point of legality. You and I will carry this burden of sin with us, and we're going to have a fight. You remember? He talked about that in another spot, but we'll leave that one alone for now. But we have a fight the fight of faith. We have a fight to fight, and that's what we're talking about. I'm going to tell you, you're in a battle. And it's a war. And it's going to be for the rest of your life. And so I'm going to tell you where you want to be. Do you want to be out there in this world? Where Satan's roaring about as devouring as a lion, and he devours whoever. It's a place to be devoured. Or do you want to come under the sanctity and the safety in God's church? This is what he's provided for us, see? That's where it's at. There's the safety here. And you should use it. I fear we don't. Because how many folks do you have come talking to you about their problems? My guess is not enough. And we need to be talking about our problems one to another. Because you know what? I'll tell you where that leads. What we do is, and Satan works in this area, because he wants to isolate you and get you alone, and then he can work on you.
Yeah, that's right.
I got to tell you this. I work with a lady, and she has her mother. And these phone call shysters called her. And I'll be doggone, they did such a good job, they got her to even change her telephone number. Isolated her. She goes to the little post office, and she's taking out money and sending it. You know, and so finally after the second time at the post office, they got suspicious and they got on it and put a stop to it. But they even had her change her phone number so only they could call her. They isolated her. See? And that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to isolate you and think that you're the only one that has problems, or you're the only ones that has this problem. That's what he does. And he works that way, and he's successful. But I'm going to tell you what, you would be surprised if you would open up and take your problems one to another. You'd be surprised how sympathetic people are. Mm-hmm. And you'd be surprised how often they've had the same problem, a similar problem. There is nobody without problems. See, and I'm telling you, we live in a life of sin, and I'm going to tell you, we're going to have problems. And we're going to need help. And that's why Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. What are you laboring and heavy laden with? That burden of sin in your life. Yep. That's where it's at. And so, when we look at that, then we begin to see that, you know, maybe somebody does understand our problems. I was so glad she went to her brother. She went to him for help, see? Have sense enough to go to somebody for help. But perhaps they should go to the right person. Yes. Go to a person that's trustworthy. Go to a person you can depend upon. Go to a person that has your best interest there. Now then, as we look, I want to go back and I want to close, and I want to use this thought that we have, and it's lined out in Hebrews. And you know, you have someone there, and that's Jesus Christ. And we have an individual there. And the Apostle Paul lays it out like this. He says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." And so, you see, when we join the church, we make that profession of faith. And we make that profession of faith that I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, the battle just began. And if you think it's easy, you think again, it's not. It's not free. It's not easy. Not like that. It's a very difficult direction. But God places us in a place of safety. He gives us help. And I want you to notice this. He says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities." Jesus understands. He understands our sins and our nature. He understands the problems that we have. He understands the addictions. He understands any of the problems that we might ever have. And you know, a lot of times we think, well, nobody'd understand my problem. Let me tell you. You'd be surprised. Look around. Visit around, and you're going to find out you need help with problems. Sometimes we need help with sin. We need help with youthful lusts. We need help with a lot of different things. And we've been there, haven't we?
Amen.
So take it to somebody that's been there, see? And here we find out, notice this, that Jesus can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And He was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus understands. You can take it to somebody that understands. And brothers and sisters, as you think about this, when someone brings a problem or wants to share something with you, I think one of the worst things that can happen is critical judgment. Yes. And he says, before you get the critical judgment that comes forth and say, well, how could that brother or sister do that? I can't believe that. How could they do that? Well, wait a minute. You just go in prayer for a minute. Mm-hmm. And you pick up that yardstick and you measure yourself. You pick that thing up and you think about your life for a minute and you start in measuring yourself.
That's scripture.
And I'll tell you what, things will change pretty quick. You look at your own life and look at your own self. I think there were some brothers up here that says, I don't want anybody to know what I think. We've already decided that, haven't we? We don't want anybody to know what I dreamed. We don't want anybody to know about me. That's really the thought, isn't it? But there's one that knows all about us. And as we think about that, you consider those things. So what my point is this. To make a life of value and glorify God in your life, I'm going to tell you, you need the church.
Amen.
That's the place where you're going to do it. That's the place to be. Because that's where the gospel is preached. That's where the truth is preached. And that is where, when it's all said and done, that the road meets the pavement, and that's it. That's where you're going to find help in your time of need, and I'll guarantee you, you're going to have a time of need. But isn't it wonderful as we look around this group that there's those that's here for us? They're here. You know what? You try it sometime. When you have a problem, you go to a brother, sister, you go to somebody and you say, man, I've got this problem. It's been plaguing me. I don't care what it is. You know, there's a lot of different problems people have in their life. They can have money problems. They can have marital problems. They can have, you know, sexual problems of all types. We can have health problems. We can have all types of problems. And you'd be surprised how others can sympathize and understand. And when we bring those problems and we lay them at the feet of Jesus, when He says, "Come unto Me," there we find a rest. There we can lay those burdens down. I'm going to tell you, carrying those burdens gets awfully hard. Pulling, you know, getting in that yoke. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me. Where else are you going to learn about Jesus Christ? I'll guarantee you it ain't the bar. It ain't the ball game. And it ain't worlds of fun. Ain't going to happen there. Right here is where you're going to learn about Jesus Christ. If you think about that, brother, you come ahead.